All right, we're going live to Indianapolis, and we're at the Crown Plaza. The Sunday morning memorial service is just about to start, and we will carry that for you, but we have to leave at 10 o'clock for another program that's already prearranged, and we can't stop it. So we'll give you an hour's worth of service listening this morning. So, Corey, go ahead and take it over. Corey's going to run the microphones. The main floor.
Okay, good morning, alumniest. At this time, we're going to say our prayer, and then we're going to start our memorial, and I'm going to have Jenny Sparks do the memorial. At this time, please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day as you gave us, and please remember our men and women in the Air Force and all across the country as they serve us. And God, thank you for the wonderful weekend that we had this weekend with old and new friends, and just we just like to reflect on the time that we had as we were younger and do anything that you would like us to do. And God, thank you for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, at this time, I'm going to have Chris Hollingsworth do the devotional.
Good morning. I thought they were doing the names first, so we're good, though. So as we gather this morning for this memorial service, we're here to remember our friends and classmates who are no longer with us. Helps if I turn my mouse on. So, as we think about them and remember how important they were to us, we weep and we mourn their loss, but as we honor and remember them, I think it's important that we bear in mind the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. He says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do and have no hope." This hope that Paul speaks of is not wishing that something that we desire is going to happen, but the knowledge that because God has said it, it will happen. Paul is telling us that there are two ways to grieve, as believers and as those who have not trusted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and have no hope. We can turn to John chapter 11 to see these two special responses. In this chapter, Jesus is ministering in the vicinity of Jerusalem, and when he receives word that his good friend is ill and expected to die, rather than hurry to the bedside of Lazarus, he continues to minister for two more days, saying, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus is telling us what the reason that we experience grievous loss and suffering is. He's telling us what he's going to do, basically. And the reason that we experience the loss and suffering is so that our lives can be a testimony to the glory of God and to the gospel, showing our faithful belief in the face of adversity gives our testimony credence. So starting in chapter 11, verse 17, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brothers. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.'" Martha is exercising her faith and seeking to take comfort in the presence of Jesus. But Mary chose remain in the house and seek comfort in those who were feeding her grief and despair. In verse 23, Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So Martha here is the example of how Christians should grieve and how we should handle the loss of loved ones, knowing that we will see them again, knowing that physical death is not the end of existence, but the promised entrance into the kingdom of the Father for all eternity, where we will be reunited with our absent loved ones to worship the merciful, gracious, and loving Father who welcomes us home despite ourselves. Picking up in verse 32. "Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Notice these are the same words that Martha used, but Mary stops right here. I want you to consider, this is the same Mary who took precious oils and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. Mary is a believer, but her grief has shaken her faith, and she is mourning what she has lost. She is distraught because Jesus let her down by not performing a miracle and letting Lazarus die. This is the way the unfaithful and non-believers grieve. It's heart-wrenching and selfish thinking. What will I do? How can I go on? How could God let this happen to me? Picking up in verse 33. "When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him?' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?'" Let's stop right here for just a moment and consider the response of these people is such a selfish response. Some said, "See how he loved him," but that's contrasted with others who said, "Could he have kept this man from dying?" I put it to you that in light of Jesus' words prior to Lazarus' death, where he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God." Jesus didn't weep over Lazarus' death because he knew the rest of the story. He wept because of the unfaithfulness and the unbelief that he witnessed. The mourners and even some of his followers had missed the point of the signs and wonders that were meant to show who he was and how great the Father is. Verse 38. "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they might believe that you sent me.' When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Jesus uses the power granted to him by the Father at that very moment and calls Lazarus from the tomb, just as at his second coming, he will call, "Come forth," and those who have fallen asleep in the Lord will be raised to life and join their brothers and sisters in eternity. He's showing the power of God to defeat death and forgive our sins and remove the things that bind us and set us free. So as we mourn the absence of our loved ones, let us also honor them by knowing that we will see them again and be with them when Jesus returns to bring the rest of us home. Let me finish with the rest of the words that Paul uses to the church in Thessalonica. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so they will always be with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity for us to gather this morning and to hear from your word how we should remember those that we love and those that have gone home before us. And Father, we just ask that you would help us as we remember them, to honor them, and to remember the grace and mercy that you have shown us all. And Father, we just thank you so much for the time that we have had with these people. And we just ask that you would strengthen and encourage us as we remember not only them, but the grace and mercy that you have shown to us and to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I think we're going to have the invocation, or Jennifer's going to read a list of the deceased alumni. So we're waiting just a second for her to get ready, and she'll be there. So, she's getting coordinated there.
Good morning, everyone.
You know that voice, so I'll be quiet.
It is with somber hearts that I bring you this list of names of people that have passed away since our last convention. Some of them, unfortunately, I do not have an exact date that they passed away. I only have a year. David Gallagher, class of 2004, passed away May 7th, 2024. Terry Burgess, class of 1986, 85, passed away May 6th, 2024. James Jim Hamrick, an honorary member, passed away November 28th, 2022. James Jim Hart, class of 1956, passed away March 23rd, 2024. Sherry Hodeshelt Berger, Berger Hodeshelt, class of 1969, passed away February 27th, 2025. Ike Hollinger, class of 1967, passed away September 15th, 2024. Bruce Lamond, class of 1968, passed away on August 27th, 2023. Blake Lindsay, who left in 1981, passed away November 24th, 2024. Ira McNeely, who left, sorry about that, in 1955, passed away January 16th, 2024. John Rusey, who left in 1973, passed away December 5th, 2023. Elmer Sletz, class of 1957, passed away July 14th, 2024. Dina Smith, who left in 1978, passed away in 2024. Tom Hodeshelt, who was an honorary member, passed away on December 26th, 2024. And also recently was Scott Brown, who passed away this year in 2025.
Can what?
Thank you.
I don't understand you. Treasurer's
report? Jackie Riley, class of 93 or 94, passed away May of last year.
Okay, hold on a second.
Mr. Chairman,
yes. Okay.
Just recently, like last week.
Oh, that's fresh. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. All right. At this time, I'm going to have. Do we have anybody for the audit committee in here? You can give a treasurer's report?
Yeah.
All right. Would you please come up here to me?
If you give me a second.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, we are.
Wants to sing a song?
Does anybody want to lead us in a song? Why? Okay. Any particular song you guys want to sing?
What?
Amazing Grace, everybody knows.
Does anybody want Amazing Grace? All right. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and wave a wretch like me.
Announcements. Before I give the treasurer's report, checkout is, I do believe, at noon, so please make sure you're out of your rooms so they don't charge you for another day. Also, if you have a name badge and you want to recycle it, please make sure somebody gets it, Barb, me, somebody, you can bring it up to the registration table or something of that nature. Leave it in the middle of the table. We can peek, look for them. But if you give them to somebody, it'll be better. Okay, so I'm going to give you as best of a treasurer's report as I can at this point. This is going to encompass only income coming in this weekend. I cannot vouch for anything that happened before Friday afternoon. Okay, I won't, can't, shan't at this point. Eventually, I'm sure I can, but not now. So, just to let you know, we had a total income this weekend of $1,160. All of that cash, every cent. The raffle, we had $84 in donations. Just straight donations, we had $70. We had $150, sorry. We had dues and registration where people paid the double, you know, both fares at the same time, was $200. We had registration only at $126. We have lifetime cash memberships paid in the amount of $500. Is that right? Yes. We have directories paid in the amount of $100, and that all adds up to what we received for the weekend. Now, we also, just so that you know, we had some credit cards taken yesterday for lifetime membership, which Bill will have to do. Those were sent to Bill directly, not to the alumni. We have 500 more in lifetime membership dues, so a total of $1,000 there. Big, big amount. That's very good. And then we did receive $25 for a directory in those payments. So what will happen from here, because I don't actually have access to the account, is these, and there's a $200 envelope that was money that was taken out of the account to give change this weekend. So that amount does not count in income, but it was removed from the account and will be returned to the account as well. So we have those two envelopes I'm giving to our president emeritus. Is that right? Bill,
hey, yeah.
Bill Sparks. I hope I'm using the right words. And he is going to make that deposit for us. And then he and I are going to be working forward in the next days to get the treasurer or to get the account so that I can be on it. And we'll get things started, including online pay options, etc. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah.
I can try. I didn't write it down on this card, but I can try. We have Nancy Cole Burris, Tiffany Burris.
Cole.
Tiffany Cole, sorry. I'm saying that, sorry. Tiffany Burris. I know Tim and Beth Schultz, Barbara Price, Chris and Tammy Hollingsworth, Corey Wills, and I'm missing...
Me, I'm a lifetime.
Jeff Claxon, and there's somebody else. I just didn't bring that up here.
Corey.
Who was it?
Corey.
I said Corey.
Was it Steve Bonds?
No. Well, they're already. We had Jackie Dewar and Steve Bonds were already lifetime members. But I think I got everybody. Yeah, I think that's right. If it's not, I can read you. I can read you the lifetimes in a minute. Oh, you know what? I've got it, actually. I've got it. I just didn't. It's in print, so I didn't put it in Braille. Chris, you want to read it?
Yeah, I'll be right there.
I think it has everybody, except for Corey. Well, I might have Corey. I'm missing somebody, though.
I haven't done Corey's yet.
You haven't gotten Corey's yet?
Okay, not yet.
They're waiting for each other, so theoretically that is going to happen here in a minute. I thought it had already. Okay.
Okay, lifetime members for this convention are Nancy Burris, Tiffany Cole, Barb Price, Deanne Hart, Jeff Claxon, Tammy Hollingsworth, Chris Hollingsworth, Beth Schultze, Tim Schultze, and Corey Wills.
I knew I was forgetting somebody. Okay, so... Thank you.
And you can add Jenny and I's name to that, too.
Not yet. I can't.
No.
Haven't seen the receipt. Okay.
I can see the clip.
So, does anybody have any other questions about the treasurer report?
When will we know the audit
information? The question is, when will we have the audit information?
Don't know. Don't know the answer to that.
As soon as
we can. Let's put it like that. I don't have access to even give you that information. Anything else? I don't know what the hotel bill is. I don't know what the outgo will be just yet. I don't have that information as of yet, okay? That's what I've got. I can do what I was put into my paws. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I move the treasurer's report be accepted as read for today.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Motion carried.
Do you have a bag or something to put?
Okay, at this time, I am going to ask Bill to come up here and if he can, and talk about the audit committee. So, Bill, would you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just dropped something. Oh, okay. Okay, I'll talk about the audit committee. We waited until the attorney gives us the go next week, and then we can provide a written copy that you will receive of the audit committee once Tammy has access to the account. And that's, I mean, Tammy can go with me to the bank, she can see it, but still, we will be glad to do that for you. And we just have to wait. There's no problem with what we've got or anything like that, but we have to pay, we've already paid, and the deposit for the hotel was paid by myself, so we had to pay for the food and beverage and all of that stuff, and we saved the alumni a lot of money, I think, by doing that, but because there just wasn't the funds at the time to do it. But there is now, and I think we're going to come out a lot farther ahead than, I think when I came into office 8 years ago, we had hardly any money at all in the Treasury, and now we're going to go out with around $10,000 to start out the next group. And so I think that's much better than what we had. But you will be promised, you will receive a written audit report. And what we have to do with the attorney now is, and the only thing that's holding it up is, we have some signatures, and I have to go in myself and file state, not federal, but state tax returns that had not been filed since 2014. So, fortunately, it's going to be an easy project because we haven't made money on any year. Our federal IRS is up to date. So I have to go through 2024 and do that, and do it online so Tammy can have all that in her receipt. So anything else you want, Corey?
Not as far as the audit committee, if you'd like to do, are you ready for the president's report?
Yeah, well, I'll talk about that real quick.
Talk about that, and I'll come back.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes, ma'am.
This is the last call for raffle tickets.
Okay, last call for raffle tickets. To help the
scholarship
committee. Okay. As far as the presidency, I feel good because you're going out with a good balance. Your weekend has been made better this weekend because a lot of things were subsidized for you that you didn't have to pay. Some things, like a meal last night and maybe some other things, but it's good. I like that. We made it a little easier the last convention, which we don't really need to get into, with making that grant for the alumni committee. So there's really not too much, except I think I'm going to leave them in a pretty good financial space. The ICOF fund is in advance. I remember when I came in, it was totally destroyed. So we had to reinstate that. Everything is in pretty good shape, I believe. Any questions? So I think my presidency report, the other thing that I would say, if there's no other questions, is we've given you, we've updated the directories, of course. We now give you an online portal so that you can see these things or do whatever that you want to do, and we're working on the online. That was part of the agreement, if I step aside. Well, anyway, that we continue to go to the online directory of 2.0 or the best ways to serve you, and we can continue that directory income coming in. So we still have that established, and that will go on, and all funds will go directly into the alumni account. It will not touch our account, but it is a total 100% free grant to the ISBVI alumni, because we need to pay this forward and go forward and keep our revenue coming in. So any questions? I may no longer be your president, but I will be here working in the background, probably where I should have been a long time ago, but working in the background, doing the website and keeping those things maintained and updating the databases and working on products and things that we can sell online. So that's my new mission, and that's what I'm going to do. But I want to, you know, so that's really it. That's all, you know, what I can say. We've accomplished some of our goals, some of them we fell a little short on. I'll take the responsibility for that. But sometimes you're as good as what you do or some of the people to work with you. So maybe a new leader that will come in will get those good people or can get those people to work for him or her. And so that's why I look forward to it. And Tammy said it wasn't written down on those others, but we already wrote ours down last night for the $100 for the lifetime membership. So I believe in the alumni, and I want it to go forward. So thank you. Tell them that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
So they know.
Just so you know, the Herman ICOF fund is, it's all combined into one account. We had two accounts for a while, one at Fifth Third and one at Chase, and that was to accommodate different people that were treasurers over the years. But we combined those last week into one. We've got $600 set aside for the Herman ICOF fund, and We have went to that and used it, and I will tell leaders and officers going forward, be very judicious with that, because we have gotten stung two or three times on that. So you're really, really in, have to be judicial about who you give that money out to. And if there's a good reason, and I don't mean to be hard-hearted, but you have to be very, 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 very careful. And I got one of those projects, and we, you know, we got something benefited the ICOF fund, and we're still working so on it. So I would tell you that all the accounts are combined into one, and that's Chase, because that seems to be the most accessible bank. If they decide to change banks, that's, you know, that's, but it Chase, because it is accessible and they will work with you. And I used them because they were in Naples and Indianapolis and they were close and it was great. So there is just one bank account now, and there is $600 set aside for the ICOF fund. So they don't like to break them up into two accounts at the bank, because once you get into a second account, then sometimes they want to start charging a whole lot more money or whatever. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for all the work Bernita's done. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, if somebody can correct me, are we able to donate money to the Herman ICOF fund if we want to? Okay, awesome. All right. Do we have any other business that we need to take care of?
I'm ready to draw names, Bill.
Okay, Don.
All right, let's have Don Kors. Hold on, please.
Wait a minute.
Yes, John.
What about the amendment that they read?
Well, we're going to do that in a minute. Yeah.
Let's do Don, and then I will have Chris Hollingsworth come back up here and do the amendment.
Throw a name out of here, Bill.
Do the amendment.
Okay. I won't even take a look.
That's a lie.
You won't look?
I won't look.
I'm glad Don can see.
This is Jeff Riffberger.
Jeff Riffberger.
And he would get $61. I'll contact him to see whether he wants the money or whether he wants to donate it back to the scholarship committee. His share is $61. Another one, Bill.
Oh, another one? Okay. We can do that.
Kim
Cousin Time?
Yeah.
Is she
Kim Council Time?
No, I don't know if she's here.
They left. Okay.
Wilcon, and that is $37. Okay. One more, Bill.
One more. Now if I can find the bag. I'm looking for my friend Pam from Florida. I find her.
Dana Poston, $24. And we will contact her also. Thank you.
Don, do we have a total of what we raised for the scholarship fund?
$122.
Okay.
Unless somebody wishes to give their share back to the scholarship.
All right. Awesome. $122. Awesome. Good. Okay, right now, just talk. At the time, I'm having Chris Hollingsworth come up here and talk about the amendments. And the bylaw.
We'll be leaving you leaving you in just a few moments to pick up regular programming on the Legend. But we've got 17 minutes.
Just as a reminder, we are attempting to amend the bylaws, and the Constitution currently reads that no amendment may be made to the bylaws without being considered at two sessions of a biennial convention of the association. And then such an amendment shall be presented in writing, which we've done, and shall require for its adoption a favorable majority vote of the members present and eligible to vote. So the proposed bylaw amendment presented yesterday by Tammy Hollingsworth, the current language in the Constitution says any individual who qualifies as a full or honorary member of this organization in accordance with Article 2 of the Constitution of this organization may become a lifetime member of this organization by paying a one-time lump sum lifetime membership fee. This fee shall represent dues paid in full for the lifetime of the eligible member. The fee may be modified by a majority vote of members present and voting at the biennial convention. As of January 14, 2015, the lifetime membership fee is set at $100. The proposed language changes the last sentence, and it will now read, as of June 7, 2025, the lifetime membership fees was set at $200. So basically all this is doing is doubling the cost for the lifetime membership fees.
Did the regular membership fee go up?
The regular membership fee went up from $5 to $10 in 2015, I believe it was.
No, last year.
Oh, it was last year, I guess. So, so they doubled the regular membership dues, yearly membership dues. Therefore, we felt we should be doubling the lifetime membership fees to reflect that raise in dues.
So, do you want me to run a vote on it?
Mr. President?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Move that the amendment be accepted.
Second. All in favor?
Sorry, the bylaw. You need to call for discussion first.
All right. Any discussion?
Any discussion? Going once, going twice, time sold.
Go for it. All those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
We have got one nay in there. Nay.
What, is it you, Pam Tanny?
Yeah.
She just said she didn't have a nay in
there. Hug her out. Hug her out.
You can't. I graduated from the school.
My gosh.
I'm not that bad.
All right. Do we have any other dying business that we need to take care of? Well, important business, sorry. Yes.
Tammy, I mean, this is not dire by any means.
Okay.
But I would love to hear from the group when we have time, if we have other businesses, isn't that important? But you can contact me later. But we would like to know if there's anything specific that you would like to see for the next convention. I mean, obviously, Beth brought up a couple of things, but you know, if there's something specific, please don't say go to the School for the Blind because we can't do it, okay? But anything, you know, that you'd want to see specifically or you thought went well or you thought needs to be improved.
Okay, do we have any other important business besides what Tammy's suggesting?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Any?
Don't think so.
Wonderful. Okay, I'm going to open up to the floor that... is there any comments or concerns or complaints that we have as far as the convention in general. I know one of them is that a lot of people are wanting to have more dining options. I understand that. Do we have any other suggestions and that we would like to bring to the floor?
The hotel is too hot in Sydney.
I'm sorry?
Hotel is too hot.
Yes, I will agree. Okay. Well, right now the air is on, so good. Okay, so do we have any other, like Tammy said, you guys, we would like to go back to the school, but it's not feasible, unfortunately.
We can't afford to pay a staff over $42 an hour, and that was like
well, I'm talking years. About visiting school.
You know. Okay. But, okay. Do we have any other suggestions that we would like to bring to the floor as far as the hotel and...
Mr. President.
Yes.
It's not really a suggestion, but I would just like to say that I think overall that the staff members, the servers, and the people that we dealt with that helped us out for the weekend were very nice.
Okay. Good. Good to hear. I'm very glad. Does anybody have any, has anybody had any problems with their bill as far as, okay. Well, I know I will tell you that there is a $35 incidental fee added onto that. I can tell you that. It will be refunded. My bill was $388 minus the incidental, so whatever that is. All right. I just had a standard. Yes, a 102 times 2 plus taxes and fees and all that good stuff. And yeah, so... All right, do we have any other concerns about the hotel besides the dining and the heating and air? I can't help with the heating air, I'm sorry. Yes, Beverly.
Very clean,
staff friendly, but last night's snacks and things were on a meal.
Very appreciated to go to
the main door.
I thought it was really
funny. I liked it last night. I didn't win, so would you guys want to do that again?
Yes.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, those door prizes that are the prizes for bingo were donated by individuals. So please, think about that next year. We'll put it out early. But yeah. Bringing a gift card or, $10 or $5 or something will add prize amounts, make the prizes bigger, more fun. So please, if you want to do that, be a part of that donating process, we're happy to let you do that.
I have another thing to add.
The only thing I want to finish is when the superintendent came, why didn't you bring that diagram up?
I already wrote that down as something to request.
Him being a former student,
well, he probably just didn't think about it.
There was a small little, you could have carried it.
Okay. Well, it is written down. It is written down.
It takes planning and thinking to blind people.
Right. Right.
He would have had to request getting it from the contractors.
Well, he said he had a small copy.
And we didn't, we didn't mention that to him ahead of time.
Oh, I thought you said that.
And he's actually traveling out of the country today. He's going to go visit a blind school that's in hopefully another country to try to find out, ways to help them or, they got something that might help the school itself.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap this up by 10 o'clock. We're going off the air.
Yes. Beth and then Pam, and then I got something to tell you.
I'll cut it off.
Already written down, Beth. Okay, yes, Pam.
I think that we should have music and dancing, kind of like a setup like Canteen used to be.
Uh-huh.
I think we should start doing that.
We can do that.
We can do that, yes. Okay, who's next? Okay, good. I did not know this, you guys, and I'm surprised that James didn't say anything. The people that are designing the school, is one person is blind and the other one is deaf. So that, yes, I read that somewhere. Oh, I know. But yeah, so you know, it's much rather have them two than two-sided people do it. Okay, do we have any other business to take care of?
Yeah, Jeff.
Yes, Jeff.
Michael, huh?
Yes. It's Corey, by the way.
One suggestion. About
yes.
Yesterday, we had print copies of the amendments.
Yes.
It seems as though we have braille copies passed out.
Okay.
I would like to address that.
And yes, Chris.
Amendments were not written until late Friday night.
And we had a disabled brailler as well. So.
And the brailler wasn't working correctly, so
just couldn't make it
all I could do was print.
Okay.
But we will try to do that. It was not possible.
Yes. I understand that, you guys. I've had many questions why the agendas weren't in Braille and everything else. But yes, please rest assured that letters, agendas, amendments, whatever else will be in Braille. To save paper and stuff, do you guys agree to have one copy per table or print X amount, Braille X amount? Do you have any suggestions?
Yes, your name tag.
Oh, yeah.
There you
go.
Thank you. Well, that's just, you know.
Okay. Well, please rest assured that all materials will be in print and Braille, whether it's multiple copies or a single copy.
Mr. President?
Yes, Chris. Yes. It will be. It will be. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay.
We're leaving the coverage of the ISB.
Okay.
VI.
That could be a part of the agenda. But yeah, it's please rest assured that all materials, agendas,
they're not going to stop. So
songs and stuff like that will be print, Braille, and electronic. Okay, do we have any other business in general? No. Okay. All right. Kevin's not here. He's obviously on his way back home to South Carolina. But he does want to tell everybody thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for volunteering your time and all that on the different committees and stuff like that. If you have any questions, you guys can contact him. Contact him. Good, bad, or suggestion. Going off myself, I would like to let everybody know.
All right, coverage is ended.
Know that, again, it was nice to serve as of your guys' vice president again, and hopefully that in 25, 27, we can build this organization up to make it bigger.